for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, Rock's chosen warrior is nothing more than a pussy.
What a great intro. Oh, God, I love that.
We're kicking it back to the 80s, where Skippy from Family Ties has become Stan from that Eminem video. It's Trick or Treat.
Yeah, with a cameo with Ozzy Osbourne. Thank you, Sharon. You are a goddess for giving us this. And I think Gene Simmons is in it for
Gene Simmons is gracing us with his presence in this movie. So yes, this is literally about a kid, using the term loosely, of course, teenage boy, who
has a pen pal,
has been writing to this metal sort of like a cross between, literally, like a cross between like Ozzy Osbourne, Alice Cooper, and a little bit of Blackie Lawless from Wasp.
I was going Motley Crue, like with like the video that's playing in the background and the pants and the belt and the hair, and you're very pretty, but also not pretty, but you're doing a lot of jazz hands. A
lot of jazz hands in this movie, guys. A lot of jazz hands.
Real flexible.
This rock star kind of looks like he's auditioning for Cats.
Yeah, very much after he, you know, bites the head off a snake and covers himself in blood.
Snake blood.
He is also going to the midnight showing of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Absolutely. Or maybe Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah. Yeah, he is Frankenfurter at night and Sammy Kerr by day.
That's right.
Sammy Kerr. Yeah. He's Sammy Kerr. And essentially, it's about this. It is about this teenage boy, played by Mark Price, who everyone will know as Skippy from Family Ties, and honestly, very little else other than this movie. And he is a bullied kid for being, you know, a metalhead, basically.
Yeah, definitely. In the 80s, many metalheads were picked on just, you know, for listening to metal, which is wild to me because it was the music of the times.
Like, yeah, I don't understand. Like, what are you guys? It's like, I'm sorry. Like, did I interrupt your Fix concert?
Right. I was just like, so because I was really thinking back to like the 80s, and it was, you know, you had Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and Osbourne. And then it was like, you know, Journey. And I love Journey. I'm not trying to like throw shade, but there wasn't like a whole lot of in between. And can you imagine like riding that hard for Air Supply?
Hey.
Hey. Oh,
them's fighting words.
Yeah, too close.
Bro. Oh. That is so, I do jack hard for Air Supply. I will ride the Air Supply dick as long as I can. All right. Assure you. Okay.
Ride that hard for Foreigner?
Not Foreigner. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay,
all right.
So that's a good one. That's right. A good reference. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean to throw Air Supply out like that.
I was going to say, I just fucking came from the Air Supply concert and that's how you do me?
Yeah, it's probably why it's in my brain. Okay. I apologize. All right. No shade.
Damn. Okay. Right. So, and of course, he's in love with this girl who's at, you know, who walks around, and she's this beautiful brunette named Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie with the heart of gold, who's nice to him.
Right.
When all of her friends, well, in comparison to her friends, she is the nicest.
She
kind of sets him up in a lot of ways, but like she kind of like, I think, feels sorry for him.
Yeah, I think initially what starts out as like pity invites because her friends are so awful, and then it puts him in situations to be treated worse. Mm. But her intent is for her, like, hey, just keep like showing up and eventually my friends will like warm up to you and it's going to be okay because the world is rainbows.
See, that's a very optimistic way of looking at it. I like that. I like that that's actually way more optimistic than what I was thinking. I was just thinking she was just like this like horrible cunt that just then decided like, oh no, I like him now.
Oh yeah, no, see, I thought that she didn't see a huge problem with what her friends were doing. Like, it wasn't nice and it's not okay. So, you know, like, we'll just keep hanging out and they're going to warm up to you because they're not that bad. They're my friends.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But the leather bracelet wearing metalhead, I mean, he just gets like so fucked over by these, you know, by these other teenagers, basically, including a very revealing shower bully scene.
Oh, yeah. This actually, I was just like, and this is how the beginning of Slaughter High.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
My Slink said the same thing. He goes, oh, we're going full Slaughter High. Are
yeah.
we?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, now I know what happens. We made the same movie.
Yeah. Right. I was like, oh, OK, I see how it is. Yeah. So meanwhile, he's writing letters to this metal guy named Sammy Kerr, who apparently was also a graduate of his own high school, Lake Ridge High. And they showed, like, it's the TV, like, they were showing this, like, newscast about him, and they go to interview this woman about him performing and how, like, she feels about it or whatever. Did you recognize that woman?
Oh, come on.
Okay.
This is why I knock Air Supply, because okay. You do this to me all
I
the
know.
Time.
That's true. That woman is Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, fuck me. No idea.
Okay.
The only person, and just so I can get my 6 seconds of fame, the only person I recognized was Doug Savant from Melrose Place, the gay icon. Why he is burned into my brain, I don't know. But as soon as he was on screen, I was just like, oh my God, that's Doug. Like, yeah. We're buddies.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, that's really one of the only things I remember about Melrose Place.
Girl, you want a history lesson?
That's great. I've never, you know what? I've never, I think I've only watched like 3 episodes of Melrose Place. I could probably name more episodes of 90210 at the time, but like, yeah, I plot points as far as Melrose Place were concerned. It was like, I remember when Elizabeth Shue's brother finally fucked Courtney Thornsmith.
Yeah, yep, that happened. Yeah, yep.
I remember watching that because I was really excited about that. And Take Care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's no. All I remember.
Yeah. Marcia Cross pulling her wig off. Oh, my God. Anybody that's listening to the show just is screaming. Right. 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 Yeah. No, that was a fucking big deal.
That's fantastic. So he's watching this newscast. Right. And they finally reveal, as he is doing his laundry, that Sammy Kerr dead at 38 from a hotel fire.
Yeah. I was just like, a hotel? Like, not a house? Like, I wanted him to be in his trailer at a show. A pyrotechnic technique went off incorrectly.
I was just thinking about this because you just mentioned this. That means the entire hotel went up, which means other people were probably killed.
Right. I was just like, if it killed him, there have to be more casualties of just like 27 dead, including not just him. Like, I just feel like I could have written a better line.
It's an abandoned hotel.
Right, yeah. Like the James Hetfield concert, Metallica, where he went up, he stepped in the wrong spot.
Absolutely stepped in the wrong spot during Fade to Black and went up like Chernobyl.
Yeah, and we could have written that and I would have totally bought in. But yeah, that sentence of just, he's dead in a hotel fire, I'm like, wait, but...
Was this happening back then? Like, I was thinking about this, though. I'm like, was this, like, a thing that happened back then? Like, hotels just caught on fire?
No. Like, rock stars trashed hotel rooms.
Right. That was the thing.
Yeah, like, if he...
But no one died in a fire.
No! No, I mean, not that I recall. If
no,
he...
No.
Jumped out the window, missed a pool.
Yeah, right. See, that I would have... That I would have bought.
Yeah, so many different... I have questions for the writers, so if they are ever listening... Please call it.
Fantastic, right?
I would like to talk to you.
So Skippy is besties with a local DJ named Nuke, played by Gene Simmons. Actually subtly chewing scenery this time around.
Yeah, he's really a blip.
Understated in this.
Yeah. Right, like, he is not Gene Simmons. He is not the lead singer of Kiss. He is really...
Just a guy in a cowboy hat.
He looks kind of like a Vietnam vet now. Like that's who just like plays the records at midnight, you know, just.
Yeah he does. That's right. Exactly what he looks like. He looks like somebody who you would never think somehow landed Shannon Tweed.
Right. No.
Absolutely not. No, that's not a thing. And it's during the scene that we get the scene where Mark Price says, "Nobody understands him the way I do."
Oh, very so Stan. I was like, oh, did Eminem watch this movie when he, in his younger years?
I was kind of wondering that too. I was like, oh wow, it's like this plot point has been used in a rap video. How interesting. So then he runs into the pretty brunette, Leslie, the next day, and she hands him a naked Polaroid that was taken of him when he was a victim of the naked shower practical joke.
And then that one, I think she was, because it's a Polaroid, so there is only one, and she was able to get it and return it. You know, it's not our day and age where you take a naked photo and it's on the internet, like, forever. And that's really when I really thought Leslie was trying to do the right thing without sticking up to her friends. Of, I'm sorry this is happening to you. And, yeah, so I don't think Leslie is a selfish cunt. I just think she's...
Okay, I like that. I like that idea. Yeah, no, she is weak-willed. She does invite him to an indoor pool party, which, by the way, this indoor pool party is fucking bananas.
And why does he go? That's where I go. I get, like, you want to see the pretty girl, but I, even if, like, the hot dream boat of my school invited me to go somewhere where I had problems with everyone, I would be like, oh, I can't make up any fucking reason, subsect, like, how about we do this, go for a walk, go have coffee, where it's you and me.
Right.
Call me later.
Right, one-on-one doesn't involve, like, a parade of bullies.
Right, yeah, it blew my mind that he showed up. I was just like, because he's not tough in the school. Like, he's getting bullied and he's not fighting back. He's not defending himself. He's not sticking up for himself. He's not advocating.
He doesn't have a gun.
No, yeah. He is a school shooter before we had school shooters.
He's absolutely, there's a lot of Klebold. There's a lot of that. Like, just the vibe that you get out of him is that he definitely would have become a school shooter if school shootings had been a thing in 85, 86.
Right. Yeah, no, he wasn't that advanced yet, but he was on the road to, being an Eric Harris.
Especially because in this scene, so he goes to this pool party and two things happen that just annoy the fuck out of me. One is this one bitch comes up to him and she's like, "Why are you so weird?"
Yeah, is she somebody?
She looks very familiar. You know what she looks like? She looks like fucking Full House. She looks like Lori.
Yes. Okay.
She does. She absolutely looks like her.
Yeah, because it stopped and I went, oh, Aaron's going to know who that is tomorrow.
No. Yeah. It's not her. It's just a really good doppelganger. But yeah, she absolutely looks like Lori. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, no,
Full House. Full House, guys. Full House. Aunt Becky.
Yeah, sure.
That's it. Aunt Becky. Okay. So two things happen. Number one, her cunty ass walks up and makes a comment. And it's just like, you know, if you weren't so weird, you would know what I mean. And then Doug Savant fucking slips a weight into Skippy's backpack.
Yeah, and pushes him in the pool.
Yeah,
I was very like, oh, Slaughter High. Yeah, or Case of the Toxic Avenger. Like, just, we bully people, they die, they come back, they get revenge. Right.
What's interesting about this movie is that it is an R-rated film, but it is very much like, it's an R-rated movie like The Gate is a PG.
It blows my mind that this is it, because this was a, like, comfort horror movie for me. Because, so the very first horror movie I ever saw was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Scared the shit out of me. Way too young, up for, like, probably 5 days, just terrified, losing my mind. But I knew I liked the genre. And when I saw this as, like, a horror movie, and I wasn't scared, it, like, so nice, mellow, watched this at, like, 11, 12 years old, something like that. And I was just like, I love this movie. I love horror. I'm so cool. And
little did you know.
Right. And now I'm just going, why is that an R-rated movie? And they were going to make Texas Chainsaw Massacre PG.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It doesn't make any sense, man. Hashtag the 80s. And so Leslie Leslie rescues him from drowning, basically, even though he's kind of in the shallow end. But he has a weight in his backpack. And then he like squishily walks away.
Yeah, I do love the squish though.
It's great because I watch everything with subtitles because I'm fucking 44, and I just love it. It's like squishing sound.
Squish. Yes,
it's so great. So he goes over that night and he dreams that Sammy Kerr and a bunch of flaming dancing demons.
Oh, good lord!
It looks like a Wasp video.
Oh yeah, very Wasp.
Fuck like a beast, bro.
Yeah, it's the only song anybody.
That's the only one I know. Yeah. It's Fuck Like a Beast.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows any other Wasp song.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Blackie. So he says, and then, oh, okay. So we forgot to mention that Nuke, Gene Simmons, Mr. Shannon Tweed, if you will, gives Skippy a copy of the last known recording LP, because this is records, kids. That Sammy Kerr ever recorded, and he's like, he would have wanted you to have it.
Yeah, I was like, why? But know, yeah, like,
were they close?
Like, right, yeah. And I just go like, maybe Stan is too harsh of a term. Were they friends? Because he had a nickname.
Yeah, right, dear. Yes, he signs his letters Ragman, which I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah, no explanation, and I went. And then later on, they talk about, you know, his other friend Roger was just like, you didn't know him. And I go, you nicknamed yourself in a letter to your pen pal?
That's amazing. Also, can I say, I kind of like Roger.
Do you?
He was so nerdy and cute and adorable, and I kind of wanted to fuck him. Although I would give him different glasses, because his glasses were not doing it for me.
I did like that he was a real friend. He was absolutely like, you are too far. You're on some like weird shit, man. I don't know what's going on with you. Like, this isn't cool. But also when he got the phone call of like, help, I'm in trouble. It was no questions asked. And he did the deed.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love friends like that.
Absolutely. No, I love that. I totally love that. So he has. So he's got this record, right? And Skippy decides that he is going to play it backwards, which it's like, this predates the gate.
This predates the gate. And I do remember hearing that, you know, when all this
the Judas Priest court case.
Yeah. And just if you play the records backwards, it's satanic rituals and kids are worshiping the devil, and just the satanic panic age is remarkable to me. I really love learning about that. It's probably my Roman Empire. So if anybody ever wants to talk about that, call your girl, because I got names on that one. I'll watch movies all day, know nobody.
Fun fact about Satanic Panic, there is a great documentary on Tubi right now called Satan Wants You.
Yeah. Oh, nope. Watched it. Yep. Absolutely. And yeah, so anyway, Skippy, before I go all soapboxy, Skippy, you know, starts listening to his records, and then
the record tells him,
bait the fish,
and we know it's revenge time.
Yeah. And it is the most complex level of a revenge.
Oh my God. Okay.
You
so
need geometry.
Okay. So we talked on the Slaughter High episode about how the elaborate prank that they pull on Marty at the very beginning of this movie takes 10 people, Klieg lights, a bra, fucking battery, you know, a car battery, all of this stuff. This revenge plot that Skippy has concocted is unbelievable, and it is, I swear to God, it is like watching a Benny Hill sketch.
Oh, such a good reference. Like, you just watch him start setting it up, and he's like moving chairs in the hallway. Oh no, too far, it needs to be pulled back 2 inches, and here's my mop bucket. I was like, what is he fucking doing?
Right. And then so it starts off with him smashing food in Doug Savant's face. And they're, like, chasing him around. There's a mop bucket. There's a chair. All of this shit is happening. And then my favorite scene in the whole movie, I don't know how they did this. I swear to God, I rewound this several times, was when one of the bullies just goes ass flying out the door.
Yeah.
Like just fucking down. I mean, just woo. Like he goes airborne with his ass.
I loved the we're running through the hallways full bore, top speed, jumping over things, and all of a sudden we get to the library and it's just this like power walk shuffle so they don't get in trouble.
Yes, it's great. It is great. That is actually really great. It's like they kind of like stand up right like they're soldiers.
Right. Just real and, you know, like
do,
fancy
do, do, do,
feet.
Do, do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. So. I cheer.
It's fantastic. And then it ends up in band practice.
Yeah. Yeah. We run through band practice. You know, the tuba goes down. Doug Savant winds up spraying all of the teachers with a fire extinguisher. And I just went... How did we know he was going to grab that for the plot to come through?
No idea.
Because he could have just opened the door ready to beat him up and then, oh, sorry, guys. But, you know, then winds up with detention because I guess he did what Sammy Carr said we're going to do.
Yeah, I'm not really. I didn't really understand that. There are some there's definitely feels like there's some missing reels here. Like, perhaps there were some scenes that they cut out for time.
Yeah, yeah. A director's cut of this is what the world needs.
That's absolutely. Director's cut of Trick or Treat. Fun fact, though, Trick or Treat is really not readily available. It's one of those movies that was only available on VHS for the longest time. A copy called Ragman, which was released in Germany, was on YouTube for the longest time. Then they took it off. Now... there is a copy of it on Screambox, which, once again, I have signed up for.
Yeah, me too. That just...
Damn
just
it.
Just for our fans. You see what we're doing? We are subscribing to Screambox to get you guys content. There are two movies on Screambox worth watching.
Yeah. This and Nightbreed.
Yeah.
And we've reviewed both of them.
Yeah, we love us.
That's right.
Please.
Please join our Patreon.
Yeah.
So he makes a tape. This is wild. He makes a tape of the incantation, whatever it is that's on this album, right? He makes a cassette tape, which is silver.
Like heavy, like Terminator 2 melting, that sort of silver. Like just to, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Absolutely. Decides to make a tape of the album backwards, and he gives it to Doug Savant and says, you know, here is a peace offering, and gives him the tape. And you know, now the thing is, if I was Doug Savant, I would be smashing this tape underneath my cowboy boots.
I just want to say, and I, because I wrote it down, Doug Savant is a sexier Spader.
Oh, them's fighting words, because you know how you know
episode you and I fight. I know
this is because you know I dick ride hard for fucking Spader.
And who doesn't? And nobody does 80s sleazeball better than Spader. However, Doug Savant had he did sexier Spader this time around.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'll give it to you. Oh, so now, meanwhile, Skippy starts asking the album questions like it's a Ouija board.
Yeah. Oh, and it answers. Yep. We really no explanation on how they are able to communicate like it's a magic eight ball. But yeah, sure. Run it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it tells him machine shop 66 machine shop 66 crush 66 crush. And I'm like, what? Like, I did a lot of drugs in my 20s. I mean, maybe I just didn't quite get that per se, but I guess, is it okay? 66 is the room number.
It's the room number, right. And it's, you know, their metal shop of the high school. And, you know, so Ragman goes in there, and then sexier Spader walks in. And the machines start going off, and his tie gets all caught up, and it looks like a drill's going to go through his head, and Skippy saves his life.
Yeah, Skippy saves his life. And before then, you know, Sexy Spader calls him a wussy fucking weak tit.
Yeah, I did love that.
I was like, the 80s.
Yeah.
It was such a great time. And then...
But then he's like, this isn't over. And I go, I feel like this should be over.
I feel like this is definitely over.
Right? Like, right. You tried to drown me. I just saved your life. You have my mixtape. I love you. And
just like
a peace offering.
Right. I was like, I really feel like this is over. I feel like the movie ended now.
Yeah, it was kind of over. And then the bitch who was like, you're so weird.
Aunt Becky
from Full House. Great value, Aunt Becky.
Lori Loughlin.
Thank
Fuck
you.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, my God.
I
wow.
knew that person one time.
Look at that. Look at that Hail Mary move. Oh, my God. I love it. Okay. So. Yes, Doug Savant and Aunt Becky are having sex, or well, they're making out pretty hot and heavy in the back of a car, and he is really drunk.
Yeah, really drunk, and now definitely has whiskey dick, so there ain't fucking anyway.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go pee.
Aside the fact that he's gay, but he gets up to go take a whiz, and you know, she listens to the shiny silver mixtape,
which kind of looks like the cassette you get with like a Barbie in the Rockers doll.
Okay, yep, I'll give you that. And then the mixtape undresses her.
Yeah, she gets ghost fucked.
Yeah,
nay, ghost raped.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, no, let's call it what. I mean, but she was into it.
I know she was into it. It gets real.
Consent to a ghost.
It turns very entity very quick.
Yeah, it seems like she was into it, and then she wasn't into it, and then it stops. I don't know. I feel maybe rape might be too harsh of a term here.
Yeah, we'll say ghost fucking.
Yeah, she ghost fucked, and then
her ears melt like a grilled cheese.
Right, like you do when you listen to Air Supply.
All out of love, baby. Yeah. All out of love. So, but what's funny about this is that the earphones are melted to her ears and she survived.
Right. I was like, yeah, she's in the hospital. And I went, with what? Melty ears? Like, what is her diagnosis?
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Is there coming back from that? Or is she getting prosthetic ears?
I don't know. What I'm saying is this movie really doesn't have a body count till the last 20 minutes of the movie. So before this, these are all just like kind of harmless pranks, so to speak. But then we get this really great Ozzy Osbourne cameo. And this is a fun Ozzy, because this is fat Ozzy. This is fat Bumblebee, you know, shot in the dark. Like Ozzy, which is my favorite Ozzy, in my opinion. Next to Does Anybody Want a Burrito? Reality TV Ozzy, which yeah. I also love. And he's playing Aaron Gilstrom.
Yeah.
A reverend.
Fucking classic. I love Sharon Osbourne so much, because this was not Ozzy's idea. I don't have any facts on this, but I know this.
I think this is the Betty Ford era.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, Sharon absolutely was the driving force of like, play opposite who you are, mm-hmm. and let them see like that you're a fucking character. Yeah. Like, that's what it is.
He's a character. It's fun. So it's really cute, because he shows up as like basically a TV evangelist who's kind of like railing against, you know, like heavy metal music and the sexuality of heavy metal music and all of that. Meanwhile, Doug Savant shows up on his front porch, uh-huh. and he's like, you and your pumpkin bombs, stay away from me.
Yeah. He has some great one-liners. Just, like, where do you come up with that?
And then, okay, so here's a weird, like, throwaway line that happens in this movie that kind of made me go, wait, what? Was when his mom is knocking on his door, and his mom's like, Tim's dad's on the phone.
Yeah. Just real, Tim's dad is on the phone, and I'm busy, I can't take it. I gotta say, she's, like, the best mom ever. Like, still, like, doing his laundry and, like, letting him be who he is, and you can wear what you want, and your music is fine, and I'm gonna make you soup when you're sick, and, like, doesn't just knock and enter, like knocks and waits for permission to enter.
Yeah, very very anti-80s parent.
Right, like very, and I really, that's how old I am now that I'm on the parent's side where I was like, way to go, Mom. You're doing great things for your kid.
That's how we are when we're watching Lisa and we're like, man, that mom fucking, she did so good.
Yeah.
Fuck that kid.
Yeah, fuck Lisa.
Fuck that Lisa. So Sammy Kerr finally manifests himself by crawling out of basically a speaker. And yeah, he is a, it is just one big Broadway dance party. It literally, like, he looks like he's auditioning for Chorus Line in this, at this part.
Yeah. Great pants. Great ass.
Great ass. Holy my God. You could pop quarters off this thing.
Yeah. Oh God. And yeah, he is just frolicking all over the screen.
Yeah. There's a lot of dance moves. A lot of dance moves being being shown, if you know what I mean. Yeah, a lot of dancing. A lot of dancing.
And then Roger gets call waiting.
I love this scene so much. I love this scene. So Skippy's friend, Roger, is on the phone with him, and he goes, I feel like such a bigwig. I got call waiting.
Yeah.
I was like, that is amazing.
Yeah, I laughed so hard. Like, yeah, the age of just it when you it, when the phone was busy, it was busy.
Right.
That was it. Right. There was nothing else that could be done.
And fun fact, when call waiting actually came out, my father refused to let us get it because he thought it was rude. He thought that saying, I'm sorry, there's someone more important on the other line, I have to go, was rude.
I love that. My dad wouldn't let us have it at first because it cost extra. And he was like, just make shorter phone calls if you're expecting somebody.
That's so awesome.
That was my dad.
And but in true good friend fashion, Roger actually, like, he tells him, he's like, listen, I need you to break into Doug Savant's car and get this tape, basically, because it's evidence, you know. And yeah, man, he fucking Slim Jims the car and gets the tape.
Yeah, like, is absolutely, man, no problem. And he's, like, singing to himself, I'm dead. I'm so fucking dead. Oh, he's gonna kill me. He goes in and he gets the job done. And I was like, you a real one, Roger. Yeah.
Yeah, see? That's why I was like, ooh, okay, Roger, I can get on board with that, you know. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was at the NA meeting and I locked my keys in my car?
No.
Yeah, okay, so I locked my keys in my car. I can't remember which meeting I was at, and I was like, oh man, I gotta get in my car. I don't have I don't have AAA or anything like that. I locked my keys in my car, and like, I swear to God, 9 guys with neck tattoos start fucking like, oh, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, no, if you're going to lock your keys in a car.
An NA meeting is the place.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you right now.
There are 18 reformed car thieves there that are just like, you're making model. Yeah, no, I got you.
He's like, yeah, sorry. I can totally do this for you. And spoiler alert, they did get in my car. It was very nice. I know, it was perfect. So he gets this tape, right? So he doesn't really know what this tape is. So he plays it.
Obviously.
And it conjures up Sammy the Broadway dancer.
Yes. Sammy just, and I was like, so does Sammy live in all the electricity?
Yeah. here's where things take a shocker turn. And by shocker, I mean the movie Shocker. It's like, okay, Sammy lives in the electricity, he lives in the radios, he lives in everything that's like an electrical appliance.
Yeah, if it's got a current, it's got Sammy.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's very confusing.
When Sammy pulls the lady out of the TV.
Right. Large March.
And Roger vacuums her up because she turns to dust. I laughed so fucking hard.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, like, I thought that was so clever. Like, not only did we pull her out, she turns to dust, she's dead on the floor, but Roger vacuuming her with the big bag vacuum and this huge Bissell.
Gotta love it. Love it so much. So cool, man. And so he conjures up Sammy. Sammy gets conjured up, and, like, besides pulling the woman out of the car, he says, play my tape for me tonight at the Halloween dance. Oh, did we forget to mention the fact that it's kind of Halloween?
Yeah, it's Halloween, and Sammy was invited to play at the school Halloween dance. Not even like a big dance. He's like a mega rock star right now, and he was gonna go and play it okay. And then the school was just like, no, it's pornographic. He can't. And then, you know, he died in a hotel fire.
A hotel fire, as you do.
Yeah. So now he's got to get his revenge because playing the Halloween dance was what he wanted his whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's. It's kind of funny because it's like, wow, that was really, that was your flex. Like, that's what you wanted to do was play right. the Halloween dance at the high school that you hated going to.
Like, you're selling out arenas, I'm sure, with, like, the amount of posters that are on the wall. You're on the cover of, you know, Guitar Weekly and everything else. But playing at the high school for the Halloween dance, not homecoming, not prom, not any of your friends go there. Okay.
So my question is, why did Skippy want to stay home from the dance? Because I didn't get that. Because he was just kind of like lounging around on the couch, like waiting to give trick-or-treaters candy.
He was grounded.
Oh, he was grounded. Yeah. Oh.
His mom is leaving with combat veteran King of the Hill.
Yeah, she kind of looks like she's leaving with her accountant.
Yeah. Mumbai, whatever. The guy.
Rambo.
Yeah. And so she turns to him and says, like, remember, you know, you're not allowed out tonight. Just hand out the candy. And so he is not going to the dance till Leslie calls.
All right. That's right. Leslie calls and she's like, are you coming to the dance? And he's like, nah. And then she's like, I think I'm going to leave also. And then she's like, and then he hears in the background the tape being played.
Yes, the tape that Roger was supposed to destroy is being played. So he hangs up on her, jumps in his car, and obviously Sammy possesses it and tries to drive him off a bridge.
Yeah, there's a self car chase.
Yes. Yep, just like you do. And we get to the dance.
And then just like Frampton, Sammy comes alive.
Yes, Sammy takes over the body kind of the lead singer of the Kickers, who is now going to play at the dance, and he is full on performing Mamma Mia.
Okay, let me just talk about this dance for a second. Okay, this is the lamest high school Halloween dance I have ever seen. This is no Once Bitten.
This actually reminded me of what a white high school dance looks like on fucking Halloween, though.
That's good.
Every movie that I've ever seen that has the white people dancing, like, no, we don't. We stand around in corners and we're awkward until, you know, somebody goes out and starts dancing. And then there's the white people Molly Ringwald type sway from Breakfast Club. But overall, we are not dancing. In every 80s movie, it's like this huge party and everybody's dancing and living it up. And I go, no, we did not fucking do that.
Wow, so this is pretty accurate, though.
Yeah, no, this okay. was dead on.
I kind of like this.
Yeah.
Right. So he's dancing. Yeah, he's really, he's giving it his all. He's performing for that back row. And he starts murdering students with the power of his rockin'.
Yeah, the killer guitar solo is my note. He has a killer guitar solo.
Yeah, it kind of turns into Shock 'Em Dead.
Yeah, very, all of a sudden, you know, he's like strumming along and then he points the neck of the guitar.
Points the neck of the guitar at random people yeah. and starts blowing them up.
Yeah, just they turn to dust the way the lady did in the TV and there's no vacuum. There's no vacuum.
Just people are getting like locked into this gym. Very Carrie.
Yeah, you know. Very, very Carrie, but nowhere near as cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like I said, this movie is 100%, like, it could be a PG-rated movie. If not for all the fucking ass, the male ass in the shower scene, it really is 100% a PG-13, if anything, kind of a
Maybe
movie.
Just from, you know, the Doug Savant language, you right. weirdo tit. Yeah.
Right? Like, you exactly. Like, there's not, I mean, there really isn't anything in this movie that I would consider. Like, I would say this is a movie you can show your kids.
Yeah, minus the ghost
your kid.
Well, yeah, my kids.
Oh, well, yeah.
Your kids.
Oh, right. The ghost fucking. The ghost fucking. But other than that scene.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's it.
Then,
oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, you do.
So maybe there's like a USA Network version of this that would be okay.
It has to be an Up All Night. Was this ever on Up All Night?
I'm not really sure. I don't even know if this was on like Saturday Nightmares.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or Who's Driving?
Joe Bob's driving. Joe Bob or Monster Vision.
Monster Vision, yeah.
Yeah, because
I had to have played on one of them.
I feel like this movie had a lot of like rights issues where things were apparently, and you can actually listen to our buddy who hosts Bring Back Rock with Dean. He did an entire episode on the soundtrack to this movie. And so he did all of the, is it Fast Break? What's the name of the band?
I thought Fast Away.
Fast Away? Now we know.
Fast Something.
Fast Something. Hold on. Hold on. That's what the internet is for. Songs. Fast. It is Fast Way.
Woo!
Yep. You did it. It's Fast Way. Yes, Fast Way. So
I'm killing it.
I know you actually are.
Doug Savant, Lori Loughlin.
Yeah,
Fast
you're.
Way.
You are pretty much killing it. It's amazing. So, Bring Back Rock did an entire episode on Fast Way and an entire episode on the Trick or Treat soundtrack, which is great. And the soundtrack's also available on Spotify if you ever want to listen to it.
They're a real band.
Oh yeah, no, they're a real band. I think they're German.
I mean, Du hast.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
Oh, meanwhile, Doug Savant. Tries to rape Leslie in the locker room.
Yeah, apparently they'd had sex once before, so then that means that we could just have sex now.
You did it to me before.
Yeah.
But then Sammy Kerr shows up and like wet willies him.
Yeah, that's exactly my line. I said so Doug explodes from an electric wet willy.
Like a reverse wet willy. It's crazy, but yes, that happens.
He explodes, poor guy.
And then so Leslie runs out of the dance and she's coming. He goes, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Coming with you." And he goes, "Why?" And she goes, "I don't know." And never has there been a better explanation of how I followed guys when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, no, I loved that. You know, I don't know what to do, so I'm gonna go with you, I guess. It seems like you're doing something. And I do think a great first date should involve running from the police.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. And I love that they go outside and people are like crying. They're like, the dance, the guitar.
Right. Yeah.
Horrible guitar.
Yeah. And people are just now we're missing students because they're fucking dead. And the police show up and obviously want to arrest the metalhead. Made me think of West Memphis 3.
Exactly. They're like, that's the guy. He's the one who did it. He did it. So then they go. Yeah, exactly. West Memphis 3. So then they go after Skippy. Skippy's running. That's when she's like, let's get out of here. So they get in a car. And okay.
Yeah.
They go to his house. Yeah. Right. They go to his house and they just start destroying all radios.
Yeah. Everything with a wire. We start destroying. He sends Leslie to go get his keys from his pants pocket.
Right, which, fun fact, are not in there.
Yeah.
Because apparently he left his pants in the bathroom. Who does that?
And then they have to go and get them where the one radio is left. And it is the world's largest bathroom.
Oh, God. This bathroom, I swear to God, it just keeps going. It looks like a museum or something.
It looks like they are running, like, in the bathroom away from Sammy and, like, running. And I go, what does your mom do for work? She looks like a single mom. She's out with her boyfriend. How big is this house? Where does she work?
She's working at, like, a Denny's.
Right.
Yeah. Or Friendly's.
Yeah. And you could afford houses in the 80s.
Yeah. See? Exactly. I can't afford a fucking $1,600 a month apartment now, right? But back then, yes, absolutely. A house with a cavernous bathroom.
Right, yeah. One that you can literally fucking run in.
and then one of my favorite, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What were they thinking with this? I mean, cocaine, I'm guessing.
Uh-huh.
Is where Sammy Kerr comes out of, I guess, the radio, and then they flush him into the toilet.
Yep. Yeah. They just flush him right down.
Did he just eat your apple?
He sure did. Came right up. I was just like, oh, yeah, no. Apples are good for dogs, too. And it's my birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Murphy.
Birthday, Murphy.
That's what I got. Yeah.
You enjoy that. Okay. All right. So we flushed him down the toilet. Next, there's a car driving backwards. things get real confusing the last 15 minutes of this movie, guys. I mean, this was not this. I'm not really sure what happened. I'm not really sure what the screenwriter was thinking, if maybe they tacked this on because they were desperate. What happened? But the last 15 minutes of this movie, it is bananas. Okay, so yes, the car is driving backwards.
Yeah, and, you know, a police officer shows up. And
they steal a cop car?
They do steal a cop car because Sammy melts the officer because he tries to tase him.
Oh, he melts him in the, just boots.
Just boots.
Just boots. Just
and
the boots.
Stun gun is on the floor. So obviously we steal the cop car and go to
the radio station. Which looks like one of those really fancy rest stops.
Yes. Very, very nice rest stop off of a turnpike. And he then tells Leslie, like, okay, stay out here, count to 100. I have a plan. And if I don't see you again, like, you know, Godspeed.
Right. And this was fun.
Yeah. And he jumps in the car and calls out Sammy, who I guess is listening.
Yeah. See, like I said, just bananas, dude. Like, I'm like, what is happening right now? Okay, so yes, calls out Sammy. He basically says he's like, oh, I guess Rock's noble warrior is nothing more than a pussy.
Yeah,
gets him to basically come out and then
back seat of the car where right. The radio is, and it's a cop car, so he is restrained. And
oh wow, I didn't even think about that.
Well, yeah, and then he's trying to melt the metal to get him, and we dive off a cliff with a seatbelt on into a pool of water, and Skippy reemerges like Jason.
Yeah, he does. He totally reemerges. He's like, all good, gonna go get my sort of girlfriend now, and then he goes over there. And oh, and also it's important to point out that Nuke got nuked.
Yeah.
No one vacuumed him up.
No, not yet.
It's just his cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It's just a sad fucking cowboy hat. And then so Skippy's in the I can't do this. Skippy goes back to the radio station and then picks up the microphone. Uh-huh. And he's like, hey. Like, so Skippy has become Nuke.
Yeah. Skippy now has his dream job where he can listen to metal. But are you gonna keep listening to metal? Because it almost ruined your life and killed you and your girlfriend, so don't listen to
also me. You have a girlfriend now, like, why don't you go and try and like put some time in with her
and take her to the Air Supply concert?
There it is. All right, well, so this was fun, man. I mean, the thing is, does this movie hold up necessarily? No.
But it's fun,
and that's all that matters. I still love the soundtrack. I still laughed at it. I still thought Roger was fuckable. I thought Skippy did as good a job as he can for a former child star. Trust me, he hasn't gotten in any trouble. I think he's actually become a television director, so good for you. The guy who directed this movie. Okay, so this is a fun story because I know you're like, yeah, really? Yeah. Is
Dower
it?
With Aaron.
Is it a fun No. So the guy who directed this movie is a guy named Charles Martin Smith, which sounds oddly enough like a serial killer. But
I was just like, Jesus.
But
the three name.
But he's not. He's actually the star of American Graffiti. And he was in And the Band Played On. He was in Speechless. He was in Starman. He was in the Buddy Holly story. He was in all of these movies. Now, that's how I know him. Also, I guess some of our younger crowd will know him from Air Bud, apparently, and A Dog's Way Home. God bless you, buddy. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving us this. I really, really fucking love it. Then the rest of the cast, like I said, it's kind of a blink and you'll miss him sort of thing. But like Doug Savant, obviously, that's really the only person I can think of that did, because he did Melrose Place.
Yeah, did Melrose Place, and then there's, you know, doppelganger Lori Loughlin.
And
Large Marge, Gene Simmons, Ozzy Osbourne. Everybody's in this room.
There's a lot of people in this movie. Sammy Kerr, unfortunately passed away of AIDS in the, I want to say it was the late 80s, early 90s. So, he looks familiar as a dancer because he is also one of the main cast members of A Chorus Line.
Yeah, I know that.
And, no, we lost him in 1995, actually. He was only 36.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But Mark Price still alive. Everybody's still alive. Everybody's still doing stuff. Okay, let's see. And Doug Savant is straight and was married to Laura Layton from, and is still married to Laura Layton from Melrose Place. How fabulous is that?
So he just played a gay guy in Melrose Place? I thought he was gay.
No, so not gay.
Oh, definitely a fuckable, more sexy Spader.
Yeah.
Get it, Dougie?
He looks good.
He does. He looks really good. Now, he did Desperate Housewives. He did Melrose Place.
What a breakout fucking... Because, like, gay characters were not written when Melrose Place came out.
That wasn't a thing.
No. So, for a straight actor to play a gay man...
And like I said, he
I was, love him more now.
He ended up with Laura Layton. Okay.
Is gorgeous.
Yeah, she's the redhead, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was she? Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right. Yeah. Yay!
Courtney Thorne's sister.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. All right. So, what? Do we have any shout-outs this week? Actually, I do have a shout-out, and it goes out to Cinema Slab Podcast. Two incredibly awesome women, Anna and Hannah. Oh, wow. I just realized that rhymes. Okay. Anna and Hannah, and they are... really awesome. They know their shit. They know their horror. They love pieces, so of course we love them. And honestly, it's a really entertaining show. It's a great show to listen to. I've been back into podcast listening lately because I'm unemployed. And once I start working again, I won't be able to listen anymore. But I've been catching up, and they're just an amazing podcast. They're very informative. They're very funny, and they're very endearing to listen to. And also, they have these... seriously amazing southern accents, which I totes love. So love them. Big shout out to Cinema Slab. And let's see, what are we gonna do next episode?
You want to do student bodies?
I would love to do student bodies.
Yeah, student bodies.
All right, student bodies, keep it here, and as always,
stay manic.